Nothing about today's episode has really gone to plan. Our original conversation with Jocelyn Noel, who's the Poppy Chair for the Royal Canadian Legion Welland Branch 4, was our guest, but unfortunately when we went to upload that audio file, we realized that it had been corrupted and damaged and we weren't able to salvage it to share that conversation with you. So to Jocelyn, we apologize. To everybody at the Royal Canadian Legion, we apologize for that. We know that you were looking forward to this conversation, but we do promise to have Jocelyn come back in the future to talk all things Legion with us. So for today's episode, I'm going to share a story of George Sparks Shaker. But before we get to that story, I would just like to ask everybody to take a moment, a quiet moment of reflection, just to consider what Remembrance Day means to you. And now the story of George Sparks Shaker. During the Second World War, he served in Canada's Merchant Marine with some 7,700 of his mates, who ran the gauntlet of U-boats and other Nazi menaces. Close to 1,200 died, while some 220 were captured. On February 22, 1941, he was a 21-year-old chief radio operator on the steamship A.D. Huff on his first voyage. The Huff had a crew of 42. It was 800 kilometers off Cape Race, Newfoundland, returning from England after unloading iron ingots and newsprint. Convoys had yet to be perfected, so the Huff was on her own. A seaplane suddenly appeared and dropped a surrender demand from a German battleship, a distant dot on the horizon. The Huff's captain decided to try and outrun the German battleship, but to no avail. While the Huff's full speed was 9 knots, the German ship moved along at 32 knots. The chase did not last for very long. A signal was sent that the ship was under attack as shells rained down from the guns of the German warship. The engine room was hit, killing 2 men, while another round slammed into the radio room. About the same time, George Shaker, who was known as Sparks to his friends, jumped overboard with the captain to join the rest of the crew in the icy Atlantic. The German ship picked them up as Huff was descending into the dark, cold waters. A German tells Sparks, "For you, the war is over." While George was trying to send off a distress signal about the attack on their ship, the German radio man had tapped "Happy Birthday" in Spanish in an attempt to camouflage George's message. It appeared to have worked. When George and his mates arrived at a prison camp near Bremen, Germany in June, no one at home knew they were there. Sparks makes the front page of the hometown Toronto Telegram as a prisoner of war. They were still a novelty. He sees camp commander pull his revolver and gun down a POW for butting in front of him. The only information that George will provide to the German Gestapo is his name, rank, and serial number. Camp loudspeakers proclaim the sinking of the HMS Hood and claim that German forces are nearing Winnipeg. Morale slumps. George and his mates are POWs longer than anyone, arriving before there are even battle troops for the Germans to capture. Surviving on a diet of turnip soup at Stalag 10B and Marlag and Milag Nord camps, Sparks drops from a trim 155 pounds to 113 pounds in 1,528 days. To pass the time, the POWs scrounge radio parts, which Sparks breaks down and hides in cartons of Winchester cigarettes. They are able to hear the British Broadcasting Corporation tell of the Bismarck sinking, which raises morale among his comrades. Sparks is 2 months past the 4-year mark when British Second Army bagpipers swirl into camp with the most beautiful sound that George ever heard. George eventually made his way back home to Canada and after the war got married and raised 3 children, all while pursuing a career in clothing manufacturing. During his spare time, he got involved with the Merchant Navy Veteran Movement. George Sparks Shaker still shivers every now and then, sometimes in his sleep, even in the summer. A leap into the frigid waters of the North Atlantic in February will leave its mark, even on the bravest of souls. So that's George Sparks' story, and I would imagine there are so many just like that. But also on the Veteran Affairs webpage, there is a quick letter, I guess, about VE Day, which is Victory in Europe Day, written by George, and this is what he had to say. "The sight that met our eyes was frightening. After more than 4 long years as prisoners of war, to be freed and to be set down in a few short days in London on VE Day was an experience that left us wide-eyed in astonishment. The whole population of London was stark raving mad with happiness. Men and women were hugging and kissing everyone within reach.
Every statue, every lamppost, every window was draped with people screaming and shouting. Every bell from every steeple was ringing. The bedlam was a joyous sound like nothing we had ever heard. On April 27, 1945, units of the British Second Army surrounded prisoner of war camp Marlag in Mielag Nord, located midway between Bremen and Hamburg, Germany. The next morning, we heard the sound of bagpipes playing, with 100 pipers and an A and an A, and then British troops came following the pipers down the road leading to the camp. What a beautiful sight. We were free. After a few days, we were flown to a disbursement camp outside London. From here, we were taken to Liverpool to board the Isle de France with thousands of other prisoners of war bound for Canada. Being isolated from the free world for so long, what changes had taken place? What had happened to our friends and relatives? What are they like now? What should we do? In our state of mind, the thought of going home immediately was too terrifying to consider, and so a few friends and I decided to skip camp and head for London to see it in all its glory with lights ablazing. We arrived in London on the morning of VE Day with no place to stay and not knowing where to go. We were eventually directed to a hotel frequented by naval personnel, and after informing the manager where we had come from, he immediately found accommodation for us. After settling in our rooms, my friends and I headed for the streets of London and the most glorious celebration of all time. So that story was George Shaker's story, and I apologize if there were any names or locations that were mispronounced. His story and so many others can be found on the Veteran Affairs webpage at veterans.gc.ca. I encourage everybody to take a look there or in other places to familiarize yourself with other stories of the men and women who have served our country, both in the past and in the present. And of course, there will be those who serve in the future. Remembrance Day for me is very personal. My grandfather, he's 102 years old. He's still with us. He is a World War II veteran, and I'll be spending Remembrance Day with him this year because I know that there aren't going to be too many November 11ths that I get to spend with him moving forward. I'm so thankful that my kids have been able to meet their great-grandpa and get to learn a little bit about why Remembrance Day is so important in our family. They get to learn a little bit more about the meaning and the significance of the poppy, to the point where they often say the poppy is for great-grandpa. And for me, absolutely it is. He's the reason I wear a poppy. He's the reason I take time on Remembrance Day and other times throughout the year to quietly reflect on what we have and the freedoms that we have here in our country. And I wish I could tell you stories that my grandfather has told me about the war, but the truth is he doesn't talk often about it, and I can't say that I blame him. The horror and the tragedy that he and his friends and his fellow platoon members would have seen and brought home with them is not something that you would want to recount very often. When looking back at George Shaker's story and seeing, you know, how he kind of signed off his letter by saying, you know, he was off to go enjoy the most glorious celebration of all time, that came at a huge price. And that came at the sacrifice of so many. And again, that's why we take the time on Remembrance Day and throughout the year, hopefully, to reflect, because those celebrations, these times of peace, when we enjoy them, they didn't come easy. They didn't come without a cost. And these are the things that I think it's important to remember at all times. So this is our Remembrance Day episode on What's Up, Welland. Again, we had hoped to have Jocelyn Noel from the Royal Canadian Legion Welland Branch 4, but luck wasn't on our side for that. We do apologize again to Jocelyn for not being able to get her conversation up, but we absolutely will have you back on an upcoming episode. So thank you for joining us on What's Up, Welland, today for this version of the Remembrance Day episode, and we hope you take some time on Remembrance Day to just quietly reflect on everything that we have available to us and all of the sacrifices that have been made to secure our freedom.